Yo, 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 and welcome back to Creeps and Crimes
Podcast.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Banshee.
Oh, I'm Iron Mike.
And I'm Banshee. And happy St. Patrick's Day 2024.
4.0.
Can't even believe it.
Possibly the last.
And possibly the last. We decided today, this morning, that this very well could be our last one. We'll have to pick a new holiday.
Yeah, I'm sorry if you're watching on YouTube. I have to stand up really quickly because I forgot we messed up our lights. There we go.
We were in the dark there for a second.
Yeah, we were in the dark for a sec. So we realized that we're running out of St. Patty's Day cases.
Yeah, like we're running dry.
And that's what we get for doing the bulkies.
But I think what will be fun is just creepy accounts getting fucked up and still wearing the
Yeah, so that's
stuff.
What we'll do. So in the future, if we ever get to the point where we run out, we'll do creepy accounts with, still the Irish music. We'll get fucked up. You know, we'll do the thing.
Look at me yawning. God.
No.
We got our Jameson ginger lime.
This is number two, Sláinte.
We recorded an entire 25-minute intro.
Yep.
And then we had to stop.
We had to delete it.
We had to go back because we sounded like the most fucking privileged, vain motherfuckers.
Like, that you've ever heard of in your life.
We're like, what are we even doing?
We were just talking about lip filler, but we just realized, like, this is not the time.
This is St. Patty's Day.
This is not the time, and we sound like bitches. Yeah, we sound like privileged white bitches, which we are.
We are.
And that is, and it's, you know, you gotta stomach it
sometimes.
We're not
going back down that train.
We're not doing it.
We finished a drink the last intro, and these are like triple shot Jameson ginger limes.
We just finished a bottle.
And we're lightweights.
Yeah.
Like, we're hardcore.
Because we just don't drink these days.
Yeah, not.
But recently.
We're king girls.
But you know what? 181, 182.
No.
182, we're drinking.
That's 2 days a week on a 9-day stretch. I can't.
Morgan, we're about to be drinking for 4 days straight next week.
Well, that's a different story.
No, but we got to do it. You know what we'll have? We'll have like
one cocktail.
We just need one. We don't need to get like fucked up. We need a drink. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like we got to get our baseline correct. I'll have a dirty teen.
I will not.
You will have a gin drink.
I'll have a gin and tonic.
You'll have a gin and tonic.
I'll get Fever Tree tonic.
Absolutely. That's what's gonna happen.
The ginger in our drinks is like straight fucking ginger.
The heartburn,
burning,
we feel it.
Our throats as it goes down.
Yeah, she's a rough day.
Yeah, so. And if you're wondering, we told you last intro, but we deleted it. I'm in full fucking glam. I had a bridal trial today,
yes.
So you'll never catch my face looking this way except for on 420, baby.
Yeah, except for on 420, baby. Not because we're gonna be blazing it.
Well,
but we will be getting married.
We will be getting married.
Me and Morgan will be getting married. And I still don't have a ring on my finger.
And you still don't have a dress.
And I still don't have a dress.
We'll get that the week
But before. You know what? Was it you that sent me that one the other day?
I think
Should
you
I get
have
that
to get
one? Because that one's stunning. I love
I think
the neckline
so too.
On it.
Yes.
I think it'll make my titties look great.
I think it'll be gorgeous.
Yeah, I think that'll
Yes,
be
I agree. I think let's order it. Let's see. And then
yeah.
we'll
If I hate it, then I'll order another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Yeah, we've said it in passing on the podcast prior, but just so everyone knows, I'm the only bridesmaid that does not have a dress yet.
That's my girl.
But I just don't know.
But if we were both in the wedding, we'd both not have a dress. So, like, if this was not my wedding, I would also not have a dress.
Yeah, you know, that's just how
Until
it goes.
Until the week before. That's just how it, that's how we
But
roll.
You know what? Me and Morgan know that we're going to take care of it.
We are my bachelorette. In a week and a half, and we have no outfits.
We're supposed to do it tonight. Not gonna happen.
Definitely not. Can you guys imagine what we would order drunk?
No.
I don't actually. I bet the fits could be pretty cool.
You know what? We maybe
but
just should.
There's no. There's
if we
no
finish
way.
This in time, we should.
There's no. We but should not do this drunk.
I think we could get some fire fits. I think
we'll order.
The sizings
like,
would be off.
100%.
Yeah, the sizings would be off. That's how they get us these days.
Yeah.
You know?
These fucking eyelashes need to go off.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you didn't take them off. No, because this is how long you're going to be wearing them.
Ugh.
You've got to get, unless you want to go get extensions.
Uh-uh.
I mean, they're easier for me. Personally, I can stomach extensions better than I can a lash line. Or you can do the parcels if Parcels of land. Would you like to buy a parcel of land, please?
Sure, Lord.
What are they
Make
called?
Me Lord Mounts.
Lord Mounts. No,
I can't
Lord
my
Harris. Are you fucking
so
kidding me?
Soon.
How many are like 40 days?
40 days.
Yeah. I still don't have a
I have so many things I have to do, and
yeah.
I'm just ignoring it. I'm hoping that someone's going to do it.
You know what?
I'm
we
like,
will.
Mom,
no, but
we'll get shit done.
Are you kidding me?
That week of, do you know where
That's
we're
That's why
be?
We canceled
we'll be
the podcast.
All around Knoxville.
Canceled. We didn't cancel the podcast.
podcast
the,
ends.
The podcast is going to be like all the recordings and everything that's going to be needed to be done is going to be done a week and a half prior. Well, actually, it's technically 2 weeks, but like me editing is going to be a week and a half prior. And my goal is to have, and listen, I don't want to fucking hear about it if you hear a breath or something. We'll do the 5 minute intros, okay? I'll let you have that. We'll do the 5 minute intros because honestly, God, we're gonna run out of shit to say because we're gonna be doing so many back to back recordings.
Yeah,
that's fine. But like, there's gonna be a lot that are not gonna end up being edited because my priority the week and a half out is gonna be the wedding. Just so we're all clear here.
I love that for me. See, this is why I'm not stressing.
Yeah,
because I have Taylor that will do it for me.
I will literally do
She'll want to kill me, but I'll be like, I love you so much.
No, because I won't want to kill you.
How's your speech coming?
It's done. I wrote it like 3 months ago, and I just keep going back and editing with like things that we experience and things that go on.
Can you read a little snippet to me right now?
Do you want me to give you the intro?
Yes.
Okay, here's how I'm going to start it off, okay? I'm going to say, hey, everybody. Thanks so much for coming out. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, that little the basic opening. And then yes. I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to say, hey, everybody. My name's Taylor. If you don't know who I am, this might help a little bit. Yo, 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 and welcome back.
To Creeps and Crimes.
You podcast.
You have to say that all the way.
Well, that's why I
podcast.
Do you not remember me asking if I could get the MC's number so I could text and see if I could get a second mic? That's for you, bitch.
Not a whole live show.
That
at
one's
the wedding.
For you. Yeah, that's all you can have.
Oh, can what about the ending? Maybe a week closer. Give me the ending.
Well, I wrote the one with you, actually in the car. We were talking and I wrote it that night when I went up to the hotel room after we were hanging out in Washington, PA.
Oh, you were in your fields. Huh?
I fixed one piece of it that needed to be fixed because I have an entire section for Aaron. Like, I'm not just only
no,
giving
I don't
a speech
even know
for
what you.
You
have to say to Aaron.
No, Aaron's is really, really sweet. Like, it is truly, like, really kind. What I gave him, of course, I had to give him a fucking hard time.
She just
wants
Aaron's mom to love on her.
I mean, obviously, moms are like literally my favorite thing to have obsessed with me. But you know, the piece I have for Aaron is. I said it to you so I could say it on the podcast was like, I couldn't imagine another best friend for my husband and husband for my best friend. And that's like the basis of his piece of the speech.
Cute.
And so like his entire, and I can't
I'll
even, I literally can't.
I'll cry.
I can't even continue on. And
I want the whole speech.
I keep having to practice it so that way I won't cry.
I started my vows and they're so hard.
You can't. It's the hardest thing in the world. It's like when I cover a case that's really hard on me, like I have to read it 500
like
times.
How, like truly though, how am I supposed to wrap up fucking 12 last years of my life into a 5 minute vow?
You don't even have to. You know what,
like,
I've
and
found?
I don't necessarily want to write it as a speech. Like I don't want to share like our intimate moments.
No,
there,
yeah, no.
But like I want it to be more of like a promise.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Mila.
Mila.
We're in our feels.
Logan.
Okay. But it's just like I want it to be more of a promise, but at the same time, I'm like.
Well, I'll send you this one account that I found. Okay. I've been hiding it from you because I got a quote from this that,
okay, well,
for
I,
you.
I could read all the TikTok.
No. It's an Instagram page and it's also on Lemonade. And it basically has, there's all these like, long, it's from like poems and stuff, but it's like for weddings specifically, and it's a way to put these people have put words into place that express how I feel that I can't get out, mm-hmm. because it would take me 32 hours to like explain
out,
to
yeah.
me, well, to explain out loud, like I just don't have that art with words, and to read someone else's writing and it truly
can resonate that with you.
Yeah, yeah, to be able to resonate it. And I changed like pieces of it to make it more fit like stuff. But like, I you should get on there.
Has anyone heard it? Has Logan heard it?
No. Logan heard my first draft that I did of it. The first time that I wrote up the full speech. And then that was like,
you
what?
Haven't read it to Arletta?
No.
That's like a sin.
No,
you
I won't. I'm not going to read it to Arletta. I want Arletta to sob her eyes out when I'm reading it out loud. Are you joking? I want Arletta to be bent over.
I need that bitch RSVP too.
Yeah.
While we're
she's
talking
coming,
about
by
it.
The way.
I know she's coming. I'm going to get on there. And
just go RSVP for her. I think she's waiting to hear about Zachary.
I'm so excited.
I'm
see
very
her.
Excited. Yeah.
I could cry.
Me and her, when you're on your honeymoon, me and Arletta are on a honeymoon.
Are you guys going somewhere?
We're
going
to go to all of the thrift stores, antique markets, warehouses. Yeah, we're going to stay for a week. and we're gonna go.
You live here.
We're gonna stay here. The first few days we're gonna do some stuff in my garden, and then me and her are gonna go down, and then we're gonna go to like the coast, the East Coast, and we're just gonna go up and down, and we're gonna like get Airbnbs a day out. Like, we'll figure it out.
Perfect.
Yeah,
that sounds so fun.
And then we're gonna, but our main point is we're going to thrift stores and antique markets, and we're gonna go get like little pieces. That's all. We both need little pieces for our houses.
Oh, that so that's what so we're fun. Doing. I wish I was doing that.
I know. I wish you were here to go.
But
do
instead,
it too.
I'll be
laying out on a beach, getting out. Pregnant.
Too far, maybe.
Don't. Not the time. We're still trying to go on a live show.
Yeah, we still want that live show.
Yeah.
Anyway,
once we do our first live show, I'll get pregnant immediately. I don't give a fuck after that. I'm down. I want to be able to get.
You guys want to see Minnie Morgan and Taylor's and give us the 10,000.
Give us 10,000 followers right now. Right
you'll
now.
See them.
I'm talking about on Instagram.
On Instagram
and on the podcast
and on TikTok while we're here.
Y'all see me back on TikTok
and on TikTok.
Do y'all see me over there on the TikTok?
She's back
on the TikTok. I've been back on the TikTok. Go follow me if you haven't already. It's Taylor Jane 98. Please God.
Oh, fuck.
And just go give a comment that's not this bitch named Meg.
No, Meg is so annoying.
Meg, it wants to fight me.
This is Meg. If I'm like, I go to Hot Works in Knoxville. No, you don't go to Hot Works in Knoxville. You go to Hot Works in Cedar Bluff. Like, not in Knoxville. That is not Knoxville. That is Cedar Bluff. That did not happen in Knoxville. That happened in Cedar Bluff.
Relax.
I'd be like, oh,
relax.
Okay. That's Meg.
Yeah.
Relax.
I haven't even told them this story. But anyways, this is St. Patty's Day 4.0. We're skirting in with these stories.
Yeah, we really are.
These are, we really were scraping the bottom of the barrel of like what is like basic knowledge of like Irish lore, and like trying to find cases that are old enough that we can talk about them when we are drunk, but also like not be obviously disrespectful, because we never would.
Yes. And also, while on the disrespect note, I'm going to mispronounce 15 different names today.
I looked up pronunciations. I tried my fucking hardest. I pulled up Gaelic, Celtic, like everything that you can imagine. We tried. We've written them out, and I'm sure we're still going to butcher them. But you guys, just so we're all, let's make it all clear right now. Let's just clear the slate. Let's talk about it. Ireland, we fucking love you.
We love you.
We mean no disrespect. Everything that we do is in the kindest, most like obsessed way possible, with being obsessed with wanting to learn more about this culture and just how beautiful it is. And we talk about it all the time. This is truly like from a place of love, and everything that we do. If we are disrespectful in any way, we trust that Laura will give us a call.
Laura.
Or Charlotte will give us a call.
Someone will call us up.
Someone will give us a
kindly.
Call. And we will immediately.
But if there's any fucking Americans that are in our comments or our reviews.
If you're American, don't talk to me.
If you're American, I don't want to hear a single comment.
Not a single thing.
We have.
If you're Lucy from Surrey with the Irish grandmother who curses everyone,
then you're
allowed
to talk.
You can talk. But
I do love your grandmother.
Yeah, I'm still obsessed with your grandma. I actually was telling a story about her the other day.
It's amazing.
I was literally talking about
best
your grandma.
Story ever.
Like, she's my grandma.
She is our grandmother.
She actually. Lucy, do you mind to share? Because we really are obsessed with her, with your nan. Is that what you called her? Your nan?
Nona.
Nona? Was it Nona?
Maybe.
That's Italian. So.
Was it Nona, though?
Did she call her Nona?
Nona.
I feel like she said my Irish nan.
It might have been Nan.
But we also had the same, in that same creepy account, we had two Italian grandmas.
Yeah.
In both.
You're right.
So, I'm going to go ahead and executively order that we are both the CEO of Iron Mike and Banshee.
Absolutely.
100%. On this date and this date only. And just so everyone's clear, St. Patty's Day is not until the Sunday following this episode. But
we're a week early.
Yeah, we're a week early. And normally we do a bonus episode when it's not on the day, but we couldn't this year because of wedding. And we just want to make sure that you guys get episodes every Thursday. That's our priority here, number one. So... you're welcome.
You're welcome.
And I want to thank everyone that went and gave us a rating and a review.
You got us back to a 4.8.
You got us back to a 4.8. And I mean, on Spotify, we're like 1,400 now. On Apple, we're 1.2. And on Spotify, I think we're at a 1.8. On Apple, we're at a 1.8.
I still can't get access to Spotify, but we'll have to work that out.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
Yeah, because I like it.
You know, there's an app.
Shut up.
Apparently there's an app. And it just meant the whole world to me. And I just can't thank you guys enough because it really helped me out a lot today.
So go leave a like and review right now.
So if you haven't already, I'm going to make you feel bad because you're making me depressed. I'm just joking. That's not on you. That's on me. Okay.
Yeah, that's always a good
let's
feeling.
Do a sláinte chug.
Okay. How long?
Five.
Sláinte.
Sláinte.
Oh, yeah. That's,
this one tastes way better than the first one we had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first one was bad.
The first one was we were eating ginger root.
Yeah, we were. We pulled it out of the garden. We were munching on it.
We were eating straight ginger. Everything. That's what I do when I'm like deathly ill. All right, Morgan.
If you're driving, throw that shit on cruise control.
If you got a glass of Jameson ginger and lime, pour that shit up.
And let's get creepy. Okay. Jinx. So we're kind of have a little back and forth episode for you guys. So I did two.
We kind of our buzz, just so like, we're all clear.
Like local legends, lore. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I was shooting for today. So the first one I'm going to be talking to you about is the Giant's Causeway.
I have to say that is one of the places I had the opportunity to see when I was in Ireland, and it took my breath away.
Gorgeous. I mean, I've never been, but pictures.
Yeah, I wonder if I still have a picture. Yeah, here's a picture of me down there.
No shit.
What's
up with the hands on the hips? I'm the giant.
Literally. I mean, it's just like this. Stunning.
I am Finn McCool.
That was the same day that we got to go make our own bread and butter.
Nice.
And I got to learn how to do an Irish, like a river dance.
That's fun. That's what I want to do.
Sign me up.
Sign me up right Sign this me moment. Up.
You know what? Let me say this. We're not going to give up St. Paddy's Day apps fully until we do go to Ireland.
We have to go to Ireland.
Next year might be our best bet.
Could be.
We said we were going to do it this year, but it just didn't work out with the wedding date. But like next year,
we could make it work.
We could maybe make that work.
I'll be Hawaii, Ireland.
You'll be in Hawaii, Ireland, but that'll be okay. You'll be really tan, you know?
Exactly.
I'll get a spray tan and then we'll go.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Us in Ireland? Yeah, no, I can.
That'd be so fun.
Okay. We would have the best time of our lives. So, Laura, you're coming.
Legend has it that there was an Irish giant and his name was Finn McCool. And he created this causeway to get across the Irish Sea to face a rival of his arch nemesis, the Scottish giant Benan Donner. So this legend resulted in the Giant's Causeway that is located in Northern Ireland. It is an area of about 40,000 interlocking basalt columns, which scientifically they want to put a damper on our parade.
Shut the fuck up,
is
science.
A result of ancient volcanic fissure eruption. No one cares. It's obviously the result of giants. Yeah, nice try, obviously. Science. But it literally looks like a giant like rock mountain with like different like levels of rock. It's really cool. Look up a picture. It's one of the most popular tourist attractions in Northern Ireland. And according to the legend, the columns are the remains of a causeway built by the giant Finn McCool. Once upon a time, there was a mythological Irish giant called Finn McCool who got himself into a little bit of trouble with a very high-tempered Scottish giant called Benan Donner, who had made a claim for Finn's island of Ireland. And immediately, Finn is like, yeah. So that's my land.
So that's literally not yours.
That's actually not gonna work, Benan Donner. Nice try. And Finn is pissed the fuck off. So he starts throwing these boulders into the sea off of Antrim coastline. While he's doing so, he gets inspired by the way that they're falling into the water. He's like, oh, well, that actually looks pretty cool. And that's like working in my favor because these boulders are huge. And he has a thought. What if he just used these boulders to make a bridge or a causeway all the way to Scotland's Isle of Staffa, where Benan Donner was from? If he did this, then he would be able to challenge his rival to a proper duel to determine the fate of Ireland.
Right.
In a mythical world where size dictated winners and losers, Finn realized that he had underestimated his enemy. Benan Donner was a giant, even for a giant. This motherfucker was huge, like brute force is not going to work on him. He's right. not going to be able to just battle him out. This guy is massive.
Yeah, it's going to take like a few drinks and some crazy to beat him.
So Finn quickly returns back to Ireland via his giant causeway that he created by throwing boulders into the sea, and decides that the best way to beat Ben and Donner is to con him. Now, there's two versions of this. One is that they do battle it out and Finn wins.
Okay.
The other version is this one here. This leaves the giant's causeway for Ben and Donner to find Finn McCoy's Finn McCool's wife, disguising him as a baby. So the giant's wife, who's also a giant, is holding this little giant.
She's a strong bitch.
She's a strong bitch.
If Logan or Aaron asked us to pick them up and carry them like a baby.
So Ben and Donner travels across this causeway, and when he arrives to Ireland, he finds Finn McCool's wife like cradling this baby.
Mm-hmm.
And he, this enormous giant baby.
Giant baby.
And he's realizing, oh my God, well, if that's Finn's child,
this baby,
then Finn McCool has to be fucking huge.
Yeah.
If that's his baby, even though it's Finn, he's like, then he's going to be huge. Like,
that
there's
motherfucker's
no way
gigantor.
I could fight him. So then the Scottish giant, Ben and Donner, was like, I'm out of here. And he ditches in fear that he would lose this battle.
Right.
And he hurries away. And when he's retreating back to Scotland, he is tearing away bits of the causeway, mm-hmm. which is why the causeway from Ireland to Scotland is no longer there. He severs all ties between Scotland and Ireland to prevent the giant Finn McCool from following him as he retreated to the Fingal's Cave on the Isle of Staffa.
Isle Staffa.
Yeah, it's type Staffa. Isla. So Isla.
Isla. So it's a female island.
Female island.
She's cute.
She is cute. But what's really cool is that on the other
people
side,
over there will be like, that is not what that means.
Yeah, that's not what I mean.
But it's just an A to me. I'm like, girl.
Yeah, that's girl. But what's really cool is that on the other side of the ocean, on the Isla of Staffa, Fingal's Cave has a very similar geology and appearance to the Giant's Causeway in Northern Ireland. Same like geographic structure of the columns. Granted, it's not on the ocean bend. This one's like in the cave, but you can see it.
I wonder if like they've done like testing on the rocks and stuff.
Well, they say it's volcanic. It's a big
eruption. Let's say that like Pangaea.
Right.
You know. Have you ever covered like Pangaea?
No, because Pangaea confuses me. So leading people to believe that this legend and myth was really no longer a legend and myth. This was real.
This is
how it was created, which was the birth of the Giant's Causeway, which ultimately is a really cool story, but it's not the only one. There is actually a legend that the causeway was created out of love. So this is a lesser known story, and it was told by causeway guides back in the 1700s, early 1800s, of Finn building the causeway for love rather than battle.
I love that.
And this all stems from a poem that was found in a library in Norway by Eva Hove, who recounted the tale that was told back then. It was written in 1830 by Mary Ann, and the poem gives a version of events that were told by the causeway guide. So I'm going to read you the poem. It says, Finn had fallen in love with a Scottish maiden. Sad that he couldn't reach her, he walked along the shore, skimming stones out across the sea. Seeing the splash that they made, Finn suddenly hit upon a plan. He would build a causeway in order to see his love. Finn labored all day and made good progress in his task, extending the causeway nearly halfway across the sea. Tired, he went home to rest, but confident that he would finish the job the next day. Sadly, his grandmother had other ideas. Afraid of losing him forever to Scotland, she used her magic to call up an enormous storm.
Oh no.
That bitch.
Grandma.
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 Sit down.
Not even a boy mom.
The waves and wind lashed the partly built causeway and the rocks were torn apart. Finn awoke the next day to see his handiwork had disappeared. Undaunted, he began to build a new causeway. Once more, the stone stretched out into the ocean, but that very night, his work was destroyed. Finn tried again and again, and the harder he labored, the more violent the storms. Worn out, he made one last attempt, building on through the night. The storms rose up around Finn, tearing at him with thunder and lightning, while wild waves beat at every rock he tried to lift. At last, he reached the other side, but the trial was too much, even for a giant. Exhausted, he fell down and died in the arms of his beloved. Behind him, the causeway he had built slipped below the waves for a final time. A mighty thunderclap sounded, and Finn's granny climbed to the top of a hill to see what had happened.
Oh my God.
Horrified by what her magic had done, she turned to stone, and she stands there to this day. So they do say that at the top of that hill, Granny's sculpture is up there, and at the bottom, did you see Finn's boot?
Yeah.
His like iron or stone boot?
Yeah, I saw. Wait, is this it? Hold on. I'm pulling up the pictures right now. Hold on. Let me see if I can pull up.
But anyway, that's the Causeway story. But so they say that Finn's boot is down below, like where that first picture you showed me was.
Mm-hmm.
And then Granny is up on the hill because she's just like terrified and gets turned to stone. As she should.
This one, I think, is Granny. And then is that the boot?
No, no, no. The boot's like a. Let me show you the boot.
No, I can't remember. I didn't go over there. Hold on.
Giant.
This is one where they stack stones at the top because we climbed to the top of that. I can't. Why is it not letting me pull up all my pictures? What date was this? June 22nd. This was also the night that I died in Northern Ireland.
This is his boot. I mean, I don't know if it's going to pull up, but you can see it on the far left.
Yes, yes, far yes. Right. I saw his boot. I have a picture of it on here somewhere.
There it is. There's his boot.
Yes. And it does look like a fucking boot.
It does. It looks just like a fucking
it's
boot.
It's a literal boot.
And let me see if I can find the
what year did
picture.
I go there? 17, 18.
Is that up here?
Yes, that's where.
That's
yeah.
where Granny is.
That's where I'm at on in this picture. I'm on top of Granny.
Yeah, you're on top of Granny.
That's on top of Granny.
You're standing on top of Granny. Good. She deserves.
She
that
fucking
disrespect.
Deserved that shit.
She wants to ruin her grandson's love like that just because she's a Scottish girl.
Me waving.
You're literally chilling on Granny.
I was making fun of Granny.
You were posting Granny on the gram.
I really was.
Granny met the gram.
This is not the boot, but this is behind the boot.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really we. I'm taking you. We're going.
I would love to see that.
No, we're going. Are you joking?
But how cool is it that across the sea, like in the
that it
path,
goes all the way there? And I just pulled up the map so I could zoom in and yeah, see like where the like? Here. I'll show it to you. It's right here. Actually, I still have it.
It's not
up.
Like a large body of water, right?
I mean,
it's a sea, but it's not
for
like
you know, it's a
for
obviously.
A giant. That's probably just
for
you
know, a giant. That ain't shit,
hike.
Man. Yeah. So
30-minute walk.
Right here is where the causeway is.
Where?
Right there. Causeway okay. Coast. That's where the Finn's Cave is.
Oh,
is that
that's
called
cool.
Finn's Cave?
No, it wasn't
no,
called
it's
that.
Not Finn.
I don't remember what it was called. Dagle's
something like
cave
that.
Or something
yeah,
like that?
Whatever his name was. Cave. It's, I mean, it's like a big chunk of water, but like, I mean,
yeah,
Greg
but like
Lake.
for a giant, that's
yeah,
like
mean,
a 30-minute hike.
Fucking two steps. Bitch.
Yeah,
two
easy.
Steps. How big are giants?
I want to cover giants.
Please do. Because
there's
I have so many questions.
There's
because
so
what
much.
Is the height of a giant? You know,
I
like
no idea.
Mythologically, like what do we have written down? Like
well,
7 foot?
There's so many giants out throughout yeah. mythology that are all different. Like the Tooth de Danann.
Yeah, Tooth de Danann.
Tooth de Danann.
Tua de Danann.
Tua de Danann.
Yeah.
Those are giants, right?
Those are giants.
They actually come up in my next story.
Oh.
Yeah, and this is like all like there's no year, but like this is like legend like before the 1400s. Like this
yeah.
is like probably before Christ, if I had to.
Oh
guess.
Yeah, obviously. Remember Moses like ditched his fucking family.
Yeah, like this is
and
like,
there were already people living in Ireland because when they came up there, they had to fight the mythological
what
beings of
giants
Ireland.
Giants were with dinosaurs, and
that would make
and
sense.
And they were their pets.
That would make sense because of the size difference. Because
right.
why were dinosaurs so huge?
Yeah, because
you know, like
giants.
Even humans aren't huge.
Right,
we're tiny,
and our animals are tiny.
Right, and our animals
you have an
are
elephant
tiny.
And a giraffe.
You know, like
but
a tree
not, like,
is
huge.
Bigger. Like yeah, an elephant and giraffe are the only things that can almost like, compete with a tree. A whale, obviously, but in the ocean. Space,
space, yeah.
space, outer space. But like seriously though, like. In the trees, like for the most part, us as humans and like species that live on land, like we're granted
the same size as animals. We're
elephants.
All the same size.
We're all like equal.
But
and, like,
why were dinosaurs so big?
By ginormous.
Because they were with giants.
And like, were they always that big or was there like an evolution of dinosaurs? Do we even know that much or what's
I
that
don't
about?
I fucking know. When even were dinosaurs?
When
was
were
before
they?
Before or after Jesus? I don't know.
They were way before Jesus because
oh, okay.
dinosaurs were before humans and then they came
but what,
down with the asteroid.
Why do they show in movies cavemen with dinosaurs? Why do they do that?
You know, I think it's like maybe there were cavemen. I mean, I'm sure they were like Homo sapiens.
Right.
Because there had to be like other species other than just dinosaur.
What if they were giants?
And you know that theory, not theory, but like scientifical theory, like it's not even like a conspiracy theory that like they could have been like bird family, like in terms of chickens, like they would have feathers.
Dinosaurs
would have had feathers.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, like they wouldn't have been as reptilian as
birds
we thought.
Birds are freaky.
Birds are crazy.
Birds aren't real.
How the fuck did they teach birds to carry stuff back and forth for letters and shit in the 16th century?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I couldn't even teach Ollie to do that. I mean, maybe if I tried, but like he'd still
be
around.
No, okay.
He saw a squirrel, he'd detour.
Let's talk about a bird though. Like a bird brain, I'm almost going to compare to a cat brain.
Smaller.
Imagine me being like, Ophie,
take this note to Morgan's house.
Literally. Nona. You know, well, Nona.
Nona does come
Nona
to my
house. Does do it.
Guys, know. I swear to you that Nona ditches this house and shows up in my backyard to check on her old home.
I swear.
I see this cat. It looks just like fucking Nona. And I'm like, ma'am?
Yeah, exactly.
And she looks at me. And anytime I spot this cat, it like looks at me and is has like the face of like, oh, fuck, I'm busted.
I'm been busted.
And then sprints away. And I'm like, Nona, what are you doing here?
Nona, you need to go back home. Your mother's looking for you.
And that cat bothers the fuck out of Ollie.
And
he knows
that would
be
Nona.
I think Nona slips away.
I really do.
And travels to me.
Well, if anything, like she's doing it spiritually because she sleeps all day
long. Yeah, she's fucking in there.
She's just astral projecting over there all
the
time.
Over to my house.
She misses her boyfriend, Gezi.
Yeah, and she misses me.
Yeah, of course.
And
she's pissed as fuck about right now because we took her chair.
100%.
Yeah, if you guys aren't watching on YouTube, which this should be out on YouTube.
She is always sleeping.
She's always sleeping.
She's astral projecting.
Oh, all day, every
Taylor's,
day.
Put this in the books. Taylor's cat is astral projecting to my house every day.
I really do believe that. You know who would be able to confirm? Susan.
I know.
Because you know why I think Nona does it too? Is because she was obsessed with the woman spirit that lives in your house.
Yeah.
Like obsessed.
And sometimes I see, like, I know you saw this too, but like mm-hmm. a cat like running by.
Snowna. There was a cat there that would run by me all the time, and yeah. it wouldn't be one of my cats.
Right.
It would be
a ghost cat.
A ghost cat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be
like,
there
is no cat in there. Ollie would, are you guys kidding?
I mean, obviously, like Ollie right. would be chasing it the entire time that it was there. She's sharpening her nails.
Oh.
On her little sharpener thing. No, anyway. She heard us talking about her, so she had to get up and go sharpen her nails to make sure that we don't fuck around and find out.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go next. With a true crime case.
Okay.
And I need everyone to know right now that this is, I did not do the full extent of the case that could be done. I know that other bigger podcasts have done it and there's that books on it and everything like that. However, this is not the time nor the place. And I just wanted to cover it because it's called the last technical witch trial of Ireland.
Okay.
And I don't have that many true crime cases to be able to do in Ireland that are old enough that we can actually discuss them while we're drinking and not be unethical. So this is why I chose this one. Granted, you guys know that we would never be unethical. And if we ever are, you have every right in the world to give us a call.
Period.
Not a review, a call.
An email.
Yeah, an email. So this is the case of Bridget Boland Cleary. Bridget Boland Cleary was born on February 19th, 1869, in, this is one of the words I'm scared about pronouncing, Ballyvaudley.
Sounds good.
Ballyvaudleia, which is in County Tipperary, Ireland.
Okay.
At 18 years old, she married Michael Cleary on August 6, 1887, only after meeting each other, like knowing each other for 1 month. And they had met in Clonmel.
Slay, little mama.
Again, question on that pronunciation. I apologize. Now, that's where she was working at the time as a dressmaker's apprentice. And Michael was working as a cooper, which is someone who specializes. Oh, wow. This I feel the Jameson in me. Specializes in making wooden barrels, baskets, etc. And not long after their wedding, Bridget returned to her parents' home where she was raised in Ballyvaud.
Wherever.
You know, where I was in County Tipperary. And Michael had to stay in Clonmel because he had to work in order to save up for them to have a life together. And he was making great money there. Now, during this time that they spent apart, Bridget kind of really like got in touch with her badass, independent woman energy. Like she was really fucking feeling herself. She kept to her like her own flock of chickens and she managed those motherfuckers and sold their eggs for money, which was unheard of for a woman to do at this time.
Good
Bridget
for her.
Saved up all of her money and she purchased a Singer sewing machine, which was at that time literally state of the fucking art. Like
a woman making her own money, which
and buying it with her own money, which immediately 100%. She truly wanted to become like her own and be an independent dressmaker and all that sort. Did you hear that?
I did. It fell.
Okay.
I watched it.
Did it fall a bit or just
like a
okay, drop. Good deal. So yeah, she just like wanted to become like an independent dress and hat maker and that was her shit. So she just like hustled her ass off so that she could get enough money to buy a Singer. She was a professional, hardworking woman that really could hold her own. After establishing herself in her village, she unfortunately faced that her mother had passed away. And at this point, Michael had moved from Clonmel to County Tipperary, where she was living in the place that starts with a B that I'm afraid to pronounce again, to help Bridget care for her elderly father, Patrick, in the Boland family cottage. Now, this is a big deal as their home was reserved for laborers, which her father had been since a really young age, and their home was considered to be one of the best cottages in the village, like top tier. Meaning that Bridget and Michael were set for the rest of their lives, unless, of course, after the death of her father, another laborer was entitled to that home. But that wasn't something that anyone was worried about, such as them in that family or in the village, because nobody, no fucking body in the village wanted this cottage and was virtually unsellable. Because why? Well, supposedly, it was built on the site of a fairy ring fort, which if you haven't listened to 1 through 3.0s of St. Patty's Day specials, or if you've totally forgotten, like me, they are the remains of stone circle, hill forts, ring forts, tree forts, or other circular prehistoric dwellings in Ireland from possibly the late Iron Age or older. Traditional Irish teachings claim that fairy forts were created by druid magic, meaning that you are not to alter or mess with them in any way, shape, or fucking form. And if anyone did, you would be cursed and face tragic misfortunes for the rest of your life.
That's terrifying.
Terrifying. So up until this point, there is not like any reports if the family had experienced any like massive tragedies or anyone that lived in this home. However, that would soon change. In early March of 1895, Bridget fell extremely ill. And after about a week of her doing what she could to manage her own illness with her father and her husband caring for her, she continued to get worse and worse. On March 13th, a doctor was called to the cottage to visit Bridget, and he diagnosed her with bronchitis. But her condition was so dire at the time of this visit that he actually immediately called for the priest, Father Ryan, to come administer last rites.
Oh my God.
Right. So for the next 2 days, family friends filled this home, like completely wanting to tend to Bridget as her condition was worsening. They performed rituals, they administered countless home remedies to try and heal her, things that typically would work for someone who was battling with bronchitis at this point in time. Yet nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, was working. She continued getting worse and worse. At this point, Bridget's husband, an elderly father, began accusing her of being a fairy sent to take Bridget's place, deceiving them, aka a changeling. You don't remember what a changeling is, this is when a fairy comes and kidnaps a person, takes them to fairyland, and then that fairy shapeshifts into the position of that person.
Usually a child,
acts as
them.
Normally a child.
Yeah.
But because of like the circumstances surrounding her illness, they were like, this is a changeling. We're in a ring fairy fort.
Yeah.
100%. At this point, Bridget's husband and elderly father were accusing her of being a changeling. Therefore, they performed a ritual to try and free their beloved daughter and wife of this fairy and the fairyland, which was throwing urine on her hanging her over fireplaces.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
I'm jaw dropped.
Literally stunned. Never heard of that before.
The urine?
Urine on me?
I would have been like, ew.
Ew.
When do you drink
fuck
any
out of here.
Water? You're nasty.
You're nasty. This shit, this piss, yellow.
Nasty.
Gold.
As fuck.
Throwing piss on me?
Too far.
I'm literally just sick. you fucking pussy bitches can't take care of me because I'm sick.
Right.
And so you're like, let me throw urine on you. That's the only other option here. You know damn well her poor mama. If her poor mama would have been there.
Stop.
Mama would have been like, y'all are fucked in the head.
She was literally making you money, by the way.
Literally. She bought a Singer sewing machine.
Yeah.
To this day, those are still very like highly valued sewing 100%. Machines. You.
I need to put that on my registry.
You don't need a sewing machine. I have a Singer. You can borrow it whenever
you want. I'm going to get a Singer.
You want
it? I'm going to learn how to sew.
You know what? You honestly should, because it is an iconic thing to know.
I'm going to.
Because I give you my sewing kit. You need it?
I still have it. I still know exactly what's sewing kit.
Yeah. You need it. You got to know how to sew.
Just kidding. I'm not on my
phone. Add it, because what we need, dining room table. Yeah. So they threw urine on her and hung her over a fireplace.
It's fucked up.
And interestingly enough, by March 16th, after 3 days of home remedies and rituals, some rumors began swirling around the village that Bridget was missing.
Yeah.
Well, you heard
that
right. We
know where our eyes need to go.
The woman who was on her deathbed so badly that they had to come have a priest do last rites was now missing.
And she didn't get up and walk away.
Right. So local police, obviously, they come in and they start investigating her disappearance and searching for 26-year-old Bridget. The first thing that they do, of course, is turn to her husband and her father. Her husband is Michael Cleary and her father is Patrick Bolin, by the way. I don't know if I said that already. When they talked to these two, but specifically Michael, they were immediately only more concerned about Bridget's well-being, because this is what Michael had to say. Quote, "My wife was taken by fairies and I'm going to be holding a vigil for her this evening."
He did not.
That's what he said to police.
He Red did flag. Not.
Red flag. So over the next week, investigators pressed the family and friends of Bridget to tell them where the fuck she was, because they knew that everyone in the town had been going over to visit her and make sure she's okay and like do what they could to help her. I thought I was going to die. I can't wait to clip that.
I can't even fix it.
No, we're not fixing that. That's what it's going to look like.
This looks perfect.
That's what it's going to be for the rest of the day. So
Bridget's like, I'm telling y'all, you're on the right track.
You're on your last leg with the St. Patty's Day shit. That's what they're telling us. By the way, if you haven't already, it's Thursday and this past Sunday you got to change your clocks. All right.
We're tired.
It is currently Sunday with daylight savings and we have no idea what time it is or where we're at.
No idea. Yeah. So, it feels like midnight.
It feels like it's 2 in the morning.
Is it still sunny out? Oh no, it's dark.
Is it dark?
Yeah.
But it's 8.
Yeah, I thought it was supposed to be light at 8.
I bet in a few months it will be.
Who wants to wait a few months?
May. By May, it'll be...
Hopefully by April. Oh. No, I want it dark.
Yeah, you
don't
want
look
dark.
At me.
No one look at us more on the dance floor. Don't look at me on the dance floor.
I'm fine with it getting dark at 8.
Me too. Okay, so... where were we at? Okay. So over the next week, investigators press the family, friends, neighbors of Bridget to tell them where she was and or what happened and or what had Michael done.
Mm-hmm.
And each of them gave witness statements and all of the information that they could. And after this, 9 people were arrested and charged with the
disappearance
of Bridget, including her own husband and father. By March 22nd, Bridget's charred remains were discovered in a shallow grave.
Oh my God.
She had either been burnt alive, from what they could tell, publicly in front of those who believed that she was actually a changeling, or she had been previously passed away and then burned in order to do a ritual of a sort.
Wow.
Either way, someone had done this to her, aka everyone knew it was her own husband. On July 3rd of that same year, a grand jury indicted 5 of the original 9 defendants for her murder, including Michael Cleary, her husband, Patrick Bolin, her father, Mary Kennedy, James Kennedy, and Patrick Kennedy, which are some people...
Kennedy family.
Some sources, right? Some sources say that they're cousins of Bridget. Others say that they're neighbors.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like of the Kennedy family.
Oh, no. I mean, I probably should.
Probably are.
Could have been able to look that up. Whereas all nine of the original defendants were also indicted, though. Like, those were the ones that were charged, but everyone was indicted on charges of at least wounding Bridget.
That is so incredibly fucked up.
And the trial told a story that shook the village to its core. According to the evidence gathered by investigators, on March 15th, Michael asked that Father Ryan return to the home, to the cottage, and he did so. And this is the same priest that had come to read her her last rites. When he arrived, he found a very much alive, yet just pissed off, agitated Bridget, who was still on bed rest because she was sick. Michael told Father Ryan that he did not believe in the medication that the doctor had prescribed to Bridget. Therefore, he had not been giving it to her. Him and Patrick, Bridget's father, had been withholding it from her.
That's fucked up.
Michael continued by saying, quote, "People may have some remedy of their own that might do more good than a doctor's medicine." End quote.
Okay.
At this point, Father Ryan basically was like, "All right, well, then what do you need?" And Michael was like, "Will you just give Bridget communion?" And he did that, and then Father Ryan left the home. Well, later that night, many neighbors and relatives and friends from the village arrived at the cottage.
I don't understand why they're all just pulling up. Like, it's not a fucking show to see. Have some
maybe
respect.
Just like to help her and like be like, wow, she's
but they
being
had
taken
ulterior
care of.
100%.
Because they're also being thinking like, okay, this is a changeling. You know, yeah. Like, it's not.
Let's go see a changeling in real life. That's what they're
thinking. That's what they're thinking. So many people came to the house, including like family members, relatives, neighbors, people from the village, arrived at the cottage. And during this gathering, it seemed as if like an argument ensued with many people, but mainly it was between Michael and Bridget discussing fairy mythology and accusing her of being a changeling. So Bridget gets fed the fuck up with not only her husband, but her dad and everybody else accusing her of being a changeling instead of being actually sick and could be remedied by prescription medication that they're withholding from her.
Because they believe it don't work.
Exactly. They keep being like, you're a fan.
They're doctors. They
you're
med
a fucking
school.
Fairy changeling bitch.
So
twisted. She says to her husband, and this is a quote, and it's so fucking iconic.
I love this already.
The only person, quote, "The only person who had gone off to live with the fairies is your mom." That's what she says to her husband.
Not a your mom joke.
Not your mom joke. In 1800s.
But what if his mom really did?
Go to live off with the fairies.
Whoa.
Whoa. I mean, Bridget came out the fucking
She moment. Created your mom joke.
She did. And Bridget basically was being like, go fuck
but
yourself.
But I think she was being serious also.
Yeah, I think 100%. Like, if you're worried about anybody going off to live with the
Worry
fucking
your
fairies,
fucking
your mom.
Your mom.
Your mom.
I
Yo
love
mama.
For her.
Truly. Now, this is where it gets really awful, and I do want to give you a trigger warning, because his mom must have gone ahead and lived with the fairies, and he must have too.
Oh.
Because this motherfucker flies off the handle and does some crazy live with the fairies
So that
shit.
Triggered him.
Triggered him. He gets angry, and he starts trying to force feed her by throwing her physically on the ground out of her bed in front of the kitchen fireplace and like holding her as close as he could to it, threatening her with a burning piece of wood. Now, during this struggle where she's fighting back with her own husband in front of a crowd of people in her cottage and her own father.
And no one's like,
no one's stopping
him. They're
like,
oh, he's just, she's a changeling. That is
yep.
so fucked up.
Fucked
he's
up.
An abuser.
He's
That's
an abuser.
What he is.
Yeah. In the struggle, Bridget's undergarments or like her gown that she, like her, you know, 1800s underwear
mm-hmm.
catches on fire. And instead of trying to help her put out the fire, Michael jumps up. He grabs a lamp and he pours kerosene lamp oil on his wife. Again, many,
with a crowd of people.
Many people are watching this in the house, witnessing as this is happening, yet no one went to help her because the few that did were being held back by Michael.
Oh my God.
Who insisted that 100% this was not his wife, Bridget, who, by the way, he only knew for a fucking month before marrying her. So how do you even know her that well? It was a changeling. He rambled on, telling all of those who were witnessing Bridget burning to death and fighting for her life that his wife had been a changeling for at least an entire week at this point, and that his goal was not to mess with this changeling, but to go into the fairy lands and find his wife.
What the fuck? She was sick, honey.
She just had bronchitis.
She was fucking sick.
She just had bronchitis. To prove to the jury in the trial that this was in fact the real Bridget and not a changeling, the prosecution, or whatever that would be called, there's no like exact term that I could find, mm-hmm. especially for 1800s Ireland, but in the US we would understand it as the prosecution. The prosecution takes the jury to this warehouse where Bridget's body was being held prior to her being buried. And whatever it is that they saw, which I don't have exact details on, and I'm sure
probably
if I read the book.
Probably a human skeleton, not to be morbid.
No,
but
it was charred remains.
Right.
It wasn't like a skeleton.
But like if it's a changeling, it would go back to its natural form.
And they could see her face, though.
And it was a human.
And it was Bridget.
Yeah.
The prosecution took the jury to see her body, and whatever it was that they observed and saw proved to the jury that Bridget had suffered greatly prior to her death, with extensive injuries on top of her burnings. These are the names of the people that are listed as being the defendants. John Dunn, or Dune, which is D-U-N-N-E, Michael Kennedy, and William Kennedy were all convicted of wounding Bridget. Patrick Kennedy was sentenced to 5 years of penal servitude, which is manual labor, but like in a jail, so it's not like out in the sun or anything like that. Michael Kennedy was sentenced to 6 months of hard labor. James and William Kennedy were sentenced to 18 months of hard labor. Mary Kennedy was released due to her young age. She was apparently like a young girl. John Dunn, or Dune, was sentenced to 3 years of penal servitude. Bridget's father, Patrick Boland, elderly father, by the way, was sentenced to 6 months of hard labor, which is like in the fields, like in the sun, hardcore. And Michael Cleary, her husband, was found guilty of manslaughter and sentenced to 20 years of penal servitude, which means prison. After serving 15 years in prison, though, he was released on April 28th, 1910, after which he immediately moved to Liverpool and then to Canada in July of that same year. Bridget's death has been popularly described as, quote, the last witch burned in Ireland, or as the subject as the last of the witchcraft trials. Although it has been noted that Bridget was never actually described to have any relations with the devil, which is customary with accused witches. Instead, she was thought to have been replaced by a fairy or a changeling.
Wow.
H. O'Connell and P.G. Doyle in their 2006 article speculated that the murder may have actually been the result of Michael developing a brief psychotic disorder, which manifested into Capgras delusion, which basically means like a delusion that is specifically about a family member or a spouse, owing the stress to managing Bridget's illness. Like basically saying like the stress of her being ill and like potentially dying was so much on him that he kind of fell into the psychosis and like was in denial of the fact that she could possibly die from her illness. And this became a case of shared psychosis after he persuaded others, such as her father, the entire town, family members, neighbors, so on, that she had been replaced by a fairy, thus a changeling. And at this point, it would have become like a case of shared psychosis with basically the village.
Yeah, and I believe that's probably the most plausible,
especially with the fact that everyone knew that their house was at a, you know, ring only, for, you know,
yeah, fueled that
psychosis, even more.
Yeah.
Now today, the way that Bridget Cleary is remembered is through a children's rhyme that is titled "Are You a Witch or Are You a Fairy?" And it's for jump roping. And it goes, "Are you a witch or are you a fairy, or are you the wife of Michael Cleary?" And that is the case of Bridget Cleary.
Not a jump rope song.
That's fucked up, Ireland. Why y'all gotta do that?
Whoa.
That has nothing to do with us.
I need us to cover like Ring Around the Rosie and We need a
children's rhymes.
Children's rhymes.
Next St. Patty's Day. That's if we can't find anything, that's what we should do.
I want to do it right now. Like the dark, like on one of our episodes that we're stockpiling.
Oh
like
my God. Wait, that's a great one. Rhymes. Do that one. Dark histories.
No, like I'm saying both of us.
Wait,
together.
That's a stunning one. Let's do dark histories. Y'all of, love like, that one time rhymes. That we did dark histories. Yeah, we should do that 100%.
Because we have, sorry, we're just thinking out loud here, but yeah. We have a lot of like packed up pre-recordings because of the Bachelorette and then some other travel days. So, that would be great.
That would be great for us. And that we've been talking about doing that for the longest.
Yeah.
It's time.
That is a crazy story.
I know. And it's so sad.
It is.
Because she just had fucking bronchitis. Like,
yeah, for real.
Like, she's not a fucking changeling.
Get a fucking grip.
But like,
Michael,
why the
Clary.
Fuck are Michael? Oh my God. She's been replaced by a fairy. No, she hasn't. She's just sick. And she's probably pissed the fuck
and
off.
She's like, you know, you're fucking mom, bro.
Literally, you're fucking mom.
I can't breathe in here. I have bronchitis. I need my meds.
You keep bringing all these people in. You won't give me any medicine to clear my lungs. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
So the other people were charged for wounding her, but what did they do exactly?
They probably like held her down.
Yeah.
And denied aiding.
Right.
Which is aiding and abetting.
Right. And also
so that would be
accessory.
Wounding. Accessory, essentially. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But that is the last witch trial considered trial. Because they basically...
Where is that in reference? I know you probably don't know this. I don't know this. I don't think anyone knows this. What is that time frame in reference to our witch trials?
1700s.
Ours were 17? Mm-hmm. Theirs was?
So 1700s started in like Germany with like the Saarland mm-hmm. witch trials. And then you come... And then they were like, all right... not everyone's witches, goddamn. Like,
yeah, like
literally.
Let's chill. Like not, we need women on this planet.
Take a Xanax
women
and sit back.
On this
like,
planet.
Smoke
so
some weed and just
everyone,
fucking
yeah.
chill out. Yeah, exactly. And then I want to say the hours were like early 1800s, late 1700s.
I think so too.
So then
Salem
this one
witch
was late.
1700s. That sounds right.
That sounds right to me. And then this happened in late 1895. So...
1895.
Yeah, dude, 5 years away from her husband was released in 1910.
Oh my God.
1910. You know what makes me sick?
It's like so close to World War I. That's crazy to think. So the next story I have for you is The Children of Lear.
Yeah.
L-I-R.
I think Lear.
I believe it's Lear.
I've been saying
and
Lear.
This is sourced from thewildernessireland.com. So I didn't really know any other way to tell you guys a story than to like tell it to you. So
yeah.
I'm just telling it to you.
It's from that. That it's from the source.
It's from the source.
Period. Literally straight from the source.
So one point in time, there was a great lord and his name was Lear. And he was passed over to be new king. He was going to be the new king.
The new
but he got passed over to not be the new king. And he was really pissed off. And he was like, I'm just fucking in line for that throne. And how fucking dare you? So
right.
He's like, that's fine. I just won't swear allegiance to the throne.
Right.
Wait. And he's a lord and he's a powerful lord.
He's a powerful lord that would also command us immediately to do a 5 second chug. 5 second
lord
chug.
Lord Lear says 5 second chug. Sláinte.
Just finish up. Mine
it's
was all water,
so
to be
cold.
Honest.
It is watery, but it's so cold.
Whoa.
My, I'll finish after this.
The back of my neck is wide open.
Woo!
Woo! All
okay.
right. King Lear.
Now I'm switching phones. I don't know where I am.
Oh, yeah.
Lord Lear.
Lord Lear. Apologies.
Okay. So he refused to swear allegiance to the new king. And the new king is, this is where you're going to bear with me, Bod Derg. Not funny.
Wait, I'm sorry. Can I see how it's spelled? I need to have an idea of what you're looking at.
B-O-D-B. Bodby?
Bodderg.
Bodderg.
But it's bot. Bobbidu.
It's Derg.
Bobbidu.
King Derg.
B-Derb. Derg.
So as a gesture of peace, the new king, King Derg, offers Lord Lear his own daughter. And I'm just going to show you guys how this is spelt. Tell you. A-O-I-B-H. How do you pronounce that?
A-O-I-B-H. A-O. What would A-O be?
Do you want to know how it's pronounced?
Please.
Eve.
No, it's not.
Yes, it's Eve.
B-H?
Yes.
Call 911.
Her name is Eve. So King Derg offers Lord Lear his daughter Eve's hand in marriage, hoping that this is going to end their feud because he's a very prominent lord and he needs his allegiance. Like he could turn... What?
You said fuge.
And the feud.
In the feud.
In the centrifuge.
Like, I'm going to give you my daughter and we're going to be cool.
Yeah. I'm gonna
fucked up.
I'm going to give you my daughter. Here's my daughter. I need your allegiance. Let's end this feud. Not centrifuge.
Not the centrifuge.
So he's like, okay, well, Eve's hot. So Eve and Lear go on to lead like a very happy life.
Okay, so Eve was okay with this.
She's okay with it. Okay. She's like, oh yeah, he's a lord. Like, I'll marry him
Sure. You know, I'll fuck for some money.
I mean, at least that's as much as we know.
Well, she, for all okay she knows, for all we know, she could have been like, you know what, this is the times. Like, I'm gonna go get my bag.
Right, and also they didn't know any different. It was a setup marriage.
It was set up, even though it's fucked up. To us, just because it's not our norm.
This is their day to day,
right?
And this marriage and this happy life resulted in 4 children. I will run through these names and I will never say them again. Their daughter, Fionnuala.
Wow.
Their 3 sons, Aodh. And they had twins, Fiatra and Con. Fiatra and Con.
Fiatra.
Twins. 4 children.
Well, yeah.
So a daughter and 3 boys.
Got it.
Unfortunately, Eve died after the last birth of the twins. When the twins were born, Eve died. And it's unsure if she died during childbirth or just like right after, but I would assume childbirth.
Like a hemorrhage. Yeah.
Because there's twins and, you know, no medicine
that's a
then.
Lot.
Okay, so at this point, so the King Dirk's daughter, Eve, dies. And he had grown a liking to Lear and he wanted his children to grow up with a mother. And he wanted Lear to remain happy because he needed his alliance. So what does he do?
No.
He offers another one of his daughters. I mean, what could possibly go wrong with that? Like,
what in the hell?
Why doesn't your aunt now mother your children?
Right.
You know, like, this is her sister's
But you know
kids.
How many cases have we told like this?
Right, exactly. And this time, it was his daughter. She was beautiful, but she was very bitter. And her name was Aoife. So,
Ife.
Ife. Even Ife. That's kind of what I'm going
with. Ife, yeah, I guess. Ife. Yeah.
So I'm going to call her Ife. I'm sure that's wrong. I'm so sorry if you guys know these names.
Well, these are gorgeous spellings. But like the other day, I found Orla was spelled Orla was spelled with I-T-H at the end. And it means like Irish. Orla is the Irish golden goddess.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, gorgeous name. How do you spell that? And it looks like Orlith, which stunning, but like I just never would think to pronounce it like that.
Yeah. So this is Ife. We're going to go with
that.
Yeah,
Ife. Yeah.
Well, we know one thing about stepmothers. They get a bad rep in fairy tale and folklore stories.
Yeah.
Think of Cinderella. And right on cue, it wasn't long until Ife was really jealous of Lear's love for his children.
Yeah.
And again, she was bitter. She was beautiful, but she was bitter. So Lear was like not really like growing this attachment towards her.
Right.
He loved on his children and he was playing the role of both mother and father, which left little room in the house for Ife.
Well, yeah, because she's kind of like assigned to be there, too. Like, he could have been okay with being a single dad.
And they aren't married at this point. She's just like the bride.
Yeah.
They're going to be married.
See, yeah.
So she was feeling shut out and unloved. And Ife grew more and more bitter and eventually jealous of Lear's love and attention that he was giving to his children. Well, Ife had some knowledge of magic and she had far too much jealousy going on. And she knew that there was one solution to her problem.
Oh, no.
And that was to kill the children of Lear herself.
No. Her own nieces and nephews.
Literally her own.
Her own blood.
Family. Her own blood.
Yeah.
So she calls the 4 children out to her one night and she proposes that they go out to the shore of the lake. So the kids are like, sure. Like, you're our stepmom. Like, we're children at this point. Like,
yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Like, they're probably like 8, 6, 5. You know, they're not like teenagers. But once they arrive, she doesn't have the guts to kill them. She realized that she actually cannot go through with this.
Right.
So instead, she proposes for them to go for a swim. And once the children of Lear were in the water, she used black magic to cast a spell over them. In the place of the 4 children, beautiful and beloved children, were now 4 feathery white swans bopping around the lake.
No.
So she turned them into swans. But with this spell came a time limit, and she chose that the children were doomed to spend 300 years as swans on the Loch Derevora in Westmeath.
Wow.
Not only that, but then a second 300 years on the rough sea of Moyle, which is the North Channel that separates Scotland from Ireland.
Right.
And then another 300 years on a little rocky island called Innis Glora in Comeo. So 900 years total, these children were destined to be swans.
Right.
Long after she had died. But she did have a heart. So while they were swans, she gave them the powers of speech, reason, and dignity. So now you have talking swans in the water.
Great. That's going to go well for them.
Yeah. But when she came back to her father's castle alone without the children that night, her father, King Durg, was really suspicious, but kind of like kept it to himself, like knowingly, like she came back without the children, but also like, I'm not going to cause anything because I already know they have a rocky relationship and I really value
I know better,
you know, yeah. opinion and our relationship. But once Lear grew suspicious and showed the same concern to his father-in-law, the king, they both realized that she had done something very bad. It wasn't until Lear went to the shores of the Loch Dyrbrick, or whatever it's called, and that's when he heard four swans singing in human voices. As he listened closer, he realized that these swans were singing in his children's voices. And in that moment, he knew what his bride, this evil stepmother, the aunt to these children, had done. So when he shared this information with the king is pissed off. Because let's be real, these are her sister's children. These are the king's grandchildren, possible heirs to the throne.
Of the child that
and
he lost.
And she turned them into swans for 900 years.
Right.
So as a punishment, he cursed her to what they imagine as the worst shape that any human could take, a demon of the air. And to this day, she remains that.
Yeah.
But the children, unable to leave each location until each 300-year-long spell was at its end, they were unable to return home to live with their father and family while they were still here on Earth. Right. I mean, 900 years, no one's going to be alive.
Right.
Instead, generations of Tuath De Danann.
Yeah.
Right?
Do we say Tua or Tuath De Danann?
Tuath De Danann. It's like tooth, right?
Yeah, tooth. Yeah.
I think so. Generations of Tuath De Danann came to hear their beautiful songs before the swans stay on the Loch Derivora was over. The song of the swans was said to be magical, able to make happy people even more blissful, able to remove pain from illness and sorrow, and peace filled the lands. But when those 300 years ended, it was time for them to go to the Sea of Moyle, otherwise known as the North Channel, where it was much colder and harsher, and violent storms would then separate the children of Lear from one another, freeze their feathers, and drench their spirit.
Oh.
So then those 300 miserable years came and went. The swans' final 300 years were spent in the waters that surrounded the island of Innis Glora in Comeo, which is on Ireland's wild Atlantic Way. And this is where, like, Christianity came in and took this story.
So where Noah abandoned his whole family.
Christianity comes in, takes this story, making their self present in it, the children of Lear
right.
legend. And during so, they said that while the children were in the island of Innis Glora, they started praying to God to protect them, and their prayers were heard and answered. And the remaining years of swans on Innis Glora Mayo were actually good ones because of God. Now, this story is now converted into Christianity.
Right.
From this point on. And so then those 300 years came and went. And finally, they were freed from their curse to remain connected to specific bodies of water. They returned home to where their father, Lear, was living.
Right.
But they found their former home in ruins and deserted. So they were treated to the beautiful island of Innis Glora, which was, again, off the coast of Mayo. And it was here that they heard the ringing of a church bell. Again, this is when Christianity takes the story over. And suddenly they were struck with the knowledge that this bell would remove their 900-year-long curse. They met a monk. Sometimes people say that this was St. Patrick himself.
Oh, wow.
And this monk heard their singing and knew immediately who they were, the children of Lear. So despite their happiness and liberty in the company of the monk, the swans had not regained their human form. The king of Connacht, King Largenan, wanted the magical swans for himself and came in search of the swans, but once he touched them, because he wanted them for like bad vibes.
Yeah,
you know, he was
gonna not good.
Utilize them.
Not a good dude.
Once he touched them, they were transformed into three old men and one old woman, the now aged children of Lear. And upon transportation and when they were close, upon transformation and close to death, they requested to be baptized before they died. And that was their fate, death of old age.
I mean, look, that would be my wish after living 900 years
as a
swan.
I'd be like, I just want to go. Like,
I just want to go on.
And also, like, where's the demon of air? Because I'm about to fuck her up.
Yeah, where the fuck is
where's
that
our
bitch
aunt,
at?
Where's our stepmother?
Yeah, what's her tea? Because that kind of sounds like the Banshee, like, origin
That's
story.
That's what
but,
I was
and La Llorona.
Yeah, she's got to have an origin story, 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, that is her origin story, but, like...
Right, but, like,
what is
a lore
demon?
Around yeah. her, like, a demon of
like,
air.
Is she Banshee? No, we covered who Banshee is.
Yeah, but, like, still, that like, could be, like, a spinoff. Like, yeah. Banshee's cousin.
Yeah, and that's actually so sidetrack here, but whenever I was covering, I did like a full 3.5 pages of the Hellfire Club.
Yeah, you did.
And when I was covering it, it started telling me about how, you know, you guys remember the story of where the devil came into the castle himself. They were playing cards. Someone dropped a card. They saw his hooves.
Yeah, hooves.
And he shot through the ceiling. Well, that was also in the Hellfire
Club. Was that on Patreon?
I don't know what it was on, but I went and I found the notes for it. I searched it.
It was on Patreon.
And it was an entirely different story. It was about a castle.
What?
Yeah. We covered about a castle and a sheriff, and the sheriff was in on this, and it was not the Hellfire Club. How crazy is that? So, like, obviously, I mean, that just shows right there that legends get mixed.
Yeah, because, like, the Hellfire Club, I remember covering Hellfire Club, I think with when we did Stranger Things, right?
Well, I also remember being like, this is like Hellfire Club and not like Stranger Things Hellfire Club.
Right. Like
I remember
talking about that. Did we record that on the couch?
I think so.
Because I remember Hoofs was on the old season 2 couch, like the day bed.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah, so it just shows that like legends and lores like are split and like people will utilize like it just
yeah,
gets
in different
like,
situations.
Thrown around. But so basically like the Hellfire Club, it was this guy, he built a hunting cabin above these ancient ruins, and after he died, I mean like they said like the spirits were restless there, that one time a storm came through, blew off the roof, and so after he died, this guy, Robert Conley or like
something like that,
something so familiar, he came in and he bought this old cabin and he used it as these like satanic meetings and rituals.
Right.
That is not. And then so they would leave a place for the devil. They would set a seat for him. And like that is not the story that we were talking about.
No, that's not what we were talking
crazy?
About at all. That's
and they were
crazy.
Like in the one night the devil came, they were playing cards. I mean, maybe that is just the way the devil shows himself, like card nights
at card
know.
Games in like Las Vegas. That makes sense.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, think about that.
That tracks.
Because,
I mean,
like, you
Percy
know what's
Jackson.
You know what's more, like, demonic to me is, like, okay. I'm saying this very flippantly. And I understand that, like, what I'm saying is not based in any sort of truth or anything. But, like, when I do tarot cards, like, it's more of, like, an energetic situation for me. You know, personally. Mm-hmm. It's reading energy. When I play cards, I'm playing for fucking blood. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, I'm playing for money.
Bring
I'm playing for blood.
Uno, that's a devil's
game. It's literally a devil's game. Like, think about that. Like, cards and gambling and stuff. That's why, like, Tennessee, you can't, we don't have casinos and shit.
Yeah, I wonder why.
It's
what
too much
that,
of the
though?
Devil. It's a sin.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
gambling
it's
a
sin.
Sin?
I mean, it's not, the Bible doesn't say sin.
Tennessee
gamble.
Will get a casino in the next 5 years, 100%.
I mean, they should. It's great money.
No, they will because they allow online betting now.
Yeah,
we
just recently. You know, Logan can't bet online still on sports games.
That's crazy
because he's a professional athlete. No, he's literally not. DraftKings, Barstool, no.
Yeah, figure it out,
please. My God,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. But anyway, I think that because that came through, they're gonna build a casino here anytime, and they have one right at the tip top in Bristol.
We have one like right over here in North Carolina too, like on yeah. the line.
Yeah, ours yeah. is all the not ours, but the Bristol one is literally, I mean, Bristol, Virginia, Bristol, Tennessee, same fucking city, just
same
different
thing.
Split state.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that's the children of Lear.
That one's good. Well, all right, guys.
Okay, so we have one little surprise for you. So we were obsessed with our candied grapes.
Yes.
So we ordered a St. Patty's Day batch. And we have... Should we do the pickle?
Yeah, I think we should.
We have a pickle. Okay, if you guys are like geeking out over this, because like I know
this
some
can
people
be
are
an
like,
ASMR section. Yeah.
So we have a pickle, a candied pickle, right?
Yeah.
And then we have pineapple and we have grapes.
Yeah.
So we're going to go get it and we'll be right back.
Yeah, we're going to be right back. And then I was going to do another case for you guys, but like, I think we're good.
We're good.
You know, like I don't want to like wring us all out dry just in case we couldn't have another, just in case we can have another one. Plus, I'm feeling really buzzed.
Yeah,
so I need to take a sec. You need to chug yours.
It's fucking water. It was too cold.
It's just super cold water. Super cold. Super cold water. Jameson ginger and lime, as we do every single St. Pat's. That's enough. All right, BRB. Okay. We're going to start with, let's show us what they have. Pick that one up too. These are candied pickles, and this is also going to be on YouTube and TikTok and Reels.
With a fruit roll-up wrap, I'm pretty sure.
We're pretty sure. We can't tell for positive.
This is pineapple and grapes, and it looks like we have some wrapped in cotton candy, some plain, and then some maybe
in
crushed?
Like sugar? I'm not really sure.
Maybe Warhead, maybe Jolly Rancher.
From
yeah,
Taste
please.
Buds Knoxville Taste by Bud. Melissa.
Taste Buds Knoxville by Melissa. We love her.
Go get on her Facebook if you want to get some here locally.
Okay.
We're so excited.
What first? I want to do a pineapple.
Okay,
first.
Give me a pineapple in my jar, in my plate. All right, ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1. Oh.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Get the pineapple. Green apple and pineapple, top tier.
I want a cotton candy grape.
Yeah.
You want cotton candy?
I'm going to do a plain.
This one has cotton candy on it. Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Oh my God.
These grapes. I need a cotton candy one. This one's huge. Is that even real? Wait, is there a grape in here?
Do we know what's on these yet?
Not yet.
Mm.
Cotton candy grape.
I think crushed. I can't tell what it is. I mean, I guess it looks like crushed Jolly Rancher, but it tastes so powdery that I want to say it's almost... I don't know.
Sugar? I don't know. Okay.
Okay. I'm scared for these.
I'm scared as well. Here. These are the pickles.
No way.
I don't know how we're about to do this.
I'm going to break a tooth on this.
I mean, this thing is huge. 3. Cheers. Sláinte.
Sláinte. Mine's frozen.
Morgan.
Mine's frozen.
Here, eat this one. You're going to be obsessed. You're not mentally prepared for this.
Oh, wow.
My God.
I never in a million years thought I'd like that.
Me either. Except for we did. We were like, we immediately need the pickle. What is that?
I have no idea. They're so big. I love pickles.
Mm.
The pineapple's the best.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Top tier. Oh, yeah.
And she made it all green for us. We know St. Patty's is our favorite.
Let me tell you something. This shit, I'm obsessed.
It's so good.
It's so delicious.
I'm sweet toothed out. But I will be snacking. It's her favorite part. Immediate ASMR. It's your besties. Tay and Morgan.
That one was super sour.
Sour. That's what I think. If we next time we get these, we have to do a warhead. Like, we need like sour punch in it.
Yeah.
That would be so
Everyone's
good.
So over these fucking taste tests and ASMRs.
We can't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
And we won't stop. No, we won't.
We really can't. Because this shit's too good. Taste Buds by Melissa in Knoxville. If you guys want to try in your local, join her Facebook group right now.
I don't think she ships.
I don't believe so.
I do know that y'all sold her out, so.
Literally.
That was good. Good
that
shit.
Made me look. That made me feel good.
That made us feel real good.
That made me feel really special. All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for joining us for this episode of St. Patty's Day 4.0.
Oh.
Possibly our last. Not like, obviously, we're sort of
being dramatic.
You fucking.
We're being so dramatic.
What are you talking about?
It came at a really bad time this year.
It came every, you know, where it comes every year. It's just.
I feel like we should record this close.
Yeah, I think so too. Maybe it's just because we get to see ourselves.
We like that. Because we're vain.
Vain. We're vain bitches. We're vain. I hope you guys enjoyed this St. Patty's Day episode. Next week will be a regular episode of Groups and Crimes.
Maybe not. Maybe Dark History of Children's Rhymes.
Yeah. I think we should save that for right before the wedding.
Okay.
Because.
I'm disappointed. I was hoping it was this week.
Not yet. Not yet. We got 40 days. 40 days.
Love you guys.
Love you guys. Thanks so much for joining us. Sláinte. Hope you guys had a great time. If you guys have any Irish lore stories that we haven't covered yet, you should let us know.
Be safe out there.
Let us know. And if you haven't already, send in that April creepy account for psychotic dreams.
We have so many.
A million of you guys have sent in dreams, but we don't have the follow-ups that we've been searching for, which were the stories for another time.
Yes.
Bring them back. Bring them back, bring them back, bring them back, bring them back, bring them back. All right, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I can't look at myself when I record.
Bring them back, 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 bring them back.
Okay. We're done.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Goodbye.